Okay, amen and amen. First and Second Thessalonians, today we're going to be talking about the revelation of the man of sin, and I'm going to start with what I call the Roman ruler. And we're going to focus on just two things today. The political leader from the West, that's where he has to start, and he becomes the ruler of the revived Roman Empire. Now remember, this guy isn't not going to come until the restrainer of the law of lawlessness is removed. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:6, you know what restrains him now. And that means that this coming ruler is being restrained. So the man who is going to appear and take over as ruler of the Western world is being restrained. And he's being restrained until, he says in verse 7, until he is taken out of the way. Until who's taken out of the way? The ruler? No. The person who's doing the restraining is taken out of the way. Well, who's that? Holy Spirit, exactly. You've got that one. And why do we say Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person of the Trinity, the Godhead. Therefore, by design, he's masculine. But the gender of the nouns is neuter. Neuter nouns with this masculine idea. So it's what restrains him until he is taken out of the way. And then, so that means the ruler could be here right now. Because when can the rapture occur? Anytime. Why do we study this? What is the point of studying all this detail and understanding future events? What can we do about it? Absolutely nothing. Why, it is in some sense a little frustrating. But the ruler could be here right now. Do we know who he is? No. Absolutely not. Are there people who know him? Yes. But do they know he's going to be this ruler? No. Since a rapture can happen any time, this man, there's always a man ready to go. You know, time goes by, that man is going to die off and be replaced by another man, and then going to die off and be replaced by another man, until the time God says, I'm ready to start the judgment, I'm ready to take my bride, and then the process will begin. And once it starts happening, it happens very quickly. So let's look at this. What I'm going to talk about is from before the rapture to the signing of the covenant. That's phase number one. We draw an arrow from there to the signing of the covenant. That points where the covenant is signed. Paul calls that the apostasy. Well, see, that makes sense once you start looking at all these things, why he would call it that. There are things that have to happen after the rapture before this covenant can be signed, because these things must fall into place. That's a figure of speech that we use. Things got to fall into place before something can happen. By chance or by magic. But keep in mind, everything happening in this tribulation is being directed by God and by Jesus, all under his control. Really hit home for us this week. Sherry's studying Isaiah, so we talk about it. And Isaiah is interesting in his prophecies, because Isaiah prophesies about two different captivities, the Assyrian captivity and then the Babylonian captivity. There's going to be an Assyrian captivity, and then a whole 150 years is going to go by before there's a Babylonian captivity. Now, here's what Isaiah tells the people as he's telling them about this. This is going to happen. There's nothing you can do to stop it. What he calls the people to do is, in knowing this is going to happen, that these horrible judgments are coming on this nation, you choose the right thing today. And when he talked about choosing the right thing today, you know who he talked about? Widows, orphans, children, those who could not help themselves, those who did not have a voice. He talked about society. He talked about you people who are called by God. He called them to responsibility, to social justice. He really did. He doesn't say to them, if you will all change, then this won't happen in the future. No, that's not what he said. That's going to happen. That judgment is coming. You're not going to stop it. Even if you say, oh, I'll be good, and you repent and change, that's still going to happen. What I'm calling you to do is repent and change now, so you act in a way that represents me now, even though this judgment's coming. This is exactly the same. The rapture is going to happen. The tribulation is going to happen. And there's nothing we can do to stop that from happening. And there's no way to know the timing of this. But we are called to a present responsibility to be filled with the Spirit and go out into the world and proclaim a gospel where men get saved. And the way we do that is by showing love for people who don't deserve it. And that's a big task. It's a huge risk. Sherry and I were talking about this, and she said, well, Here's what he says is going to happen. There's no way to stop it, but he says he still calls them to righteousness where they stand in the present time. And I went, that's the perfect balance Paul laid out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, when he says, we are to serve the living God as we wait for His Son to deliver us from the wrath to come. We're waiting with expectation, but we're serving now in the present. And he brings that perfect balance together. And at the end of 2 Thessalonians, he'll bring it back to that when he talks about people who are out there not working and being disorderly. He said, that's not Christianity. That's not a spirit-filled existence. Before the rapture to the signing of the covenant, what's going to happen in this time is going to be a consolidation of 10 Western nations, a revived Roman Empire. And this is very clear as you study Daniel, very clear as you study the book of Revelation. What's interesting is we have a European Union which is built upon the boundaries of the old Roman Empire. It's not 10 nations. It's more than 10 nations. It's a conglomeration of nations, and some of them want out, some of them want in. It's kind of shaky all the time. So you go, well, how can this work? Well, it won't work until God's timing is right, and somehow, and I don't know how, I don't have the answers to this, somehow God is going to allow 10 Western European leaders to come together to form a coalition, to conform a consolidation, and their goal will be to revive the Roman Empire. Now, that language is not foreign to the European Union. The very treaty upon which the European Union is built was signed in 1964. You know what it's called? The Treaty of Rome. Their desire in Europe is to rebuild the Roman Empire. And they even name them Reich number 1, Reich number 2, and Reich number 3. And Reich number 3 was intended by its leaders to last how long? 1,000 years. Was he successful? No. He petered out in about 13 years. All right, so that's kind of a fast history lesson. But when we look at Daniel chapter 2, we see that he outlines this. Because in Daniel chapter 2, he sees a statue that starts in Babylon, goes all the way down to Rome. It never breaks. It never stops. It goes all the way down to the toes. The fourth kingdom is strong as iron. Feet and toes. Toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron. Some of the kingdom will be strong. Part of it will be brittle. They, that's the toes, will combine with one another in the seed. That's one man, one seed from men of human origin. These 10 are going to combine together and be subservient to this one. It's outlining here that the Roman Empire will not end until there's 10 toes, 10 kings. It says very clearly, these are 10 kings. In 244, in the days of those kings, what kings is he talking about? In the statue, the toes, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. This is the last vestige of the Roman Empire. Now, we look at our history and we say the Roman Empire was defeated. It disappeared, right? From our point of view, yes. It looks like that. It looks like it died, that it's gone. It's not. It's lying there dormant, ready to be revived. And it's the book of Daniel that gives you that sweep, that gives you that continuity you don't find anywhere else. This isn't the only time this comes up. This comes up also in Daniel 7, 19 and 20. It's a parallel passage, but it doesn't look at a statue. Nebuchadnezzar saw the statue in his dream. He's a Gentile king. Daniel, as a Jewish prophet, sees the same nations that Nebuchadnezzar saw, but he sees them as beasts. Beasts that are going to try to devour Israel. And every nation, every Gentile nation, has tried to devour Israel and destroy Israel. So at 7, 19 through 20, Daniel is blown away by the fourth beast. The fourth beast is a parallel to the iron legs, feet, and toes. And he says, I want to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast. He says this because it scares him. And the meaning of the 10 horns on its head and the other horn which came up, that's an 11th horn. And before which 3 horns fell. That means this 11th horn took power and subdued 3 of the 10 in order to consolidate the power. These 10 horns coincide or are parallel to the 10 toes of this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. This horn that came up isn't one of these 10. He comes up out from these 10. So he comes up out of this confederacy and takes over. He consolidates the confederacy And he even has opposition to the Confederacy. See, he has to subdue three horns, but he is the orator, the speaker, the one with the great mouth. He seems larger than life. And that's what it says in the next verse. That horn, that little horn, the 11th one, had eyes, symbol of intelligence, and a mouth uttering great boasts, a great orator, people who listened to him, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. He's not even evident. He's among them, but he's not evident as being powerful. And all of a sudden, as these 10 nations consolidate, he comes up and shows himself to be greater than all the other 10. That 11th horn is the beast of the book of Revelation. This is the only timeline of history you get in the Bible that's this clear. That's why all prophecy, all study of prophecy, must have Daniel as a foundation, or it makes no sense because there's no grid work to put it on. Daniel 2 is a chart. Remember, I told you, amillennials don't like charts. But Daniel 2 is a chart. It's a statue that outlines human history all the way down to the time when Jesus will come and establish his kingdom. Let's look at the Roman Empire. This is the Roman Empire about 100 AD. So this is about the time that John would have written the book of Revelation. This is what he would have recognized as being the borders of the Roman Empire after the birth of Jesus for about 40 years after his death. This is the outline of the Roman Empire. When we look at it from our perspective, this is really Western Europe, isn't it? It's Western Europe, Northern Africa, Turkey, Syria. Now, England falls off my map. It's part of this Roman Empire. So England is part of it. But this is the Roman Empire at the time John wrote. But it's an interesting phenomena that things begin to line up according to Bible prophecy, but that may change. I had a picture from a Time magazine from 1977. I was going to bring it in, and I couldn't find it. It was Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat on the cover of Time magazine signing a peace treaty in 1977. And we were so excited. We said, this has got to be it. Jesus from heaven in 77. That's what we would say. Be it, the rapture's got to be tomorrow. Was it? What happened to Anwar Sadat? He was assassinated. See, the plan was Anwar, being an Egyptian, most powerful country at the time in the Middle East, was going to bring the other nations along. Jordan did eventually sign a peace treaty, but that wasn't until 1994. Egypt wasn't able to bring the other countries along. The other countries got together and they killed him. They didn't bring about the peace treaty that they intended to bring about. Why? It wasn't God's time. So Daniel 9:26 says, the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who destroyed the city and the sanctuary?
Romans.
The Romans. Okay, so that's the Romans under Titus. Daniel 9:27, and he, that's the reference from the he, is back to the prince who is to come. He will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. That's what Daniel 9:27 says, is the signing of the covenant, which Paul calls the apostasy in 2 Thessalonians. So who is this guy? Where does he come from? People want to know that. They keep asking. Well, Daniel 8, which is the vision of the Greeks defeating the Medes and the Persians, the second kingdom of the statue and the third kingdom of the statue, they talk about a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. And he's called in Daniel 8 a little horn. Not the same little horn that's in Daniel 7, but they call him a little horn. That's Antiochus Epiphanes. He desecrated the temple in 167 B.C., and that was called the abomination of desolation by the Jews. Now do you see why Jesus used those exact terms when he says, when you see the abomination of desolation, flee to the mountains? But he wasn't talking about this abomination of desolation. He was talking about a future abomination of desolation. And it wasn't Titus and the Romans. Because Daniel 9 says that after Romans and the Titus, and Titus destroy the city, there's going to come someone later who's going to make a firm covenant to allow sacrifice and grain offering. So Jesus is talking about the future, but he has a historical precedent. So people said, you mean what happened back then is going to happen again? And this had to blow their minds because it was only less than 200 years previously. So one possibility then, if this is a reference to a little horn that commits the abomination of desolation, and he came from a country that's part of the Roman Empire, Syria. Stanley Ellison, who writes a book called Three Worlds in Conflict, and on page 134, he makes a case that says this guy could come from this part of the world. He could be a person who's involved in Syria. He will rise to power. Now, it doesn't look today like anybody's going to come out of Syria with any power. But I don't know if that's right or not. That's his speculation. I think it's a good one. He's part of the old Roman Empire. And where did, what was Syria at one time? Well, Antiochus Epiphanes is a Greek, because when the Greeks defeated the Medes and the Persians under Alexander the Great, Alexander died right after he conquered the world. And what happened, four of his generals came together and divided the Egyptian kingdom into four parts. And Daniel 8 talks about that. And one part was Egypt, one part was Syria, one part was Macedonia, and one part was Thrace. So there's four different generals running these kingdoms. The one quarter kingdom of Greece was Syria, and Antiochus came from there. So possibly he's going to be a leader who comes from the Syrian part of the world. I don't know. I'm just saying that that's a speculation. There's even one theory out there now that he's going to be a person of Islam from Saudi Arabia. I say pure hokum. It's not part of the Western world. People want to know, where did this guy come from? I think it's because they want to maybe be able to identify him before the time. Not going to happen. That's what I want to stress to you. There is nothing you can look at out there and say, ah, this is it. Cover of Time magazine. There they are, making a peace treaty. This has got to be it. No, it's not. You're wrong. I was wrong. And I'm still here teaching this class. Revelation 6:1. This ties these events. This ties the event with Daniel 9:26. The people, the prince who is to come, will make a covenant with the many. Jesus is control of these events. The Lamb, Jesus, breaks the seals, and a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. A bow is a sign of power. And a crown. That's a victor's crown, not a king's crown. That's a victor's crown. It was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. First by treaty. The war is going to follow in the second seal. So he's going to promise peace. The next event in the tribulation is a massive war. Seal number two, which Jesus breaks open. Jesus breaks open seal number one. These events are all synonymous. Daniel 9:27, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Revelation 6:2. All parallel, all synonymous. With Revelation 6, this tells us that he has enough power behind him. He's got a bow, which is a sign of power. Notice, what's missing with the bow? The arrows. He doesn't have a bow with an arrow. That's war. He's got a bow, but Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, he's going to consolidate power behind him. So he's going to have enough consolidated power to make a peace covenant in Israel. Going to have a lot of power behind you to make an enforceable peace treaty in Israel. And for some reason, the Jewish people are going to rejoice at this peace treaty, and the Gentile world is going to accept this peace treaty. How's this power going to consolidate? It's going to consolidate after this horrific event where millions of people disappear. They need explanation. People need answers. They need a man who will step up and say, I will bring your peace. I will calm your fears. I will make this world a better place. The first thing I'm going to do is make peace with Israel. Then we'll work on everything else after that. That really makes sense. Mm-hmm. But the ruler of the new revived Roman Empire goes on, that's point number two, he goes on till after the signing of the covenant, then through the support of the false church, a European, Western European church. What's the name the church is going to have on its door? Christian. It's going to be a Christian United Europe. Christian in name only. This is after the signing of the covenant to his death. That's phase number two. Because in the middle of this 7-year period, he gets killed. Can't tell you exactly how that happens, but it happens. He signs the covenant, allows the Jews to worship in Israel. It's wonderful. He makes an ally of the Christian Roman-led world, which is going to dominate religion. It's going to consolidate other religions into it as well. But remember, we're talking about the Western world. We're not talking about China. Other religions that are in China, the Buddhism, the Taoism, those Far Eastern religions, we're not talking about those. This is a consolidation of Christian power. Remember, the drive is to create the old Roman Empire. The Roman Empire that Charlemagne really consolidated. That's where the Pope crowned Charles the Great and said, this is the Holy Roman Empire. That's Reich number one, kingdom number one. They intended that to go on for 1,000 years. In a sense, it still is. It's still going on. So he makes an ally with this false church. And then he goes on and he's killed. Revelation 11, 1 through 3. Let's look at the Israel side. The angel tells John, get up and measure the temple of God. This is 95 AD, folks. Temple's long gone. And the angel says, you get up and measure the temple of God. And John's going to say, what temple? Well, he sees this temple in a vision. Temple and an altar. What happens on an altar? That's where sacrifice takes place. So the Jews are able to sacrifice and offer. What's Daniel 9 say? He's going to put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering in the middle of the week. Why are they doing that? Because they got a rebuilt temple. And those who worship in it. Now look what he says. That's the temple area. Look what he says about Jerusalem itself. But he says, leave out the court, which is outside the temple. Don't measure that, because that belongs to the nations. That means the nations are still going to be involved in Jerusalem. Why? Because he makes a peace treaty between the nations and Israel. So the nations are going to have their peace, and Israel is going to have its peace. So they will tread it underfoot. They will tread underfoot the holy city for how long? 42 months. 3.5 years. How long is the tribulation? 7 years. When's he going to break the treaty? 3.5 years. Until he breaks the treaty, they're going to offer their sacrifices and grain offering, and the nations is going to have his place in the holy city. There are going to be sacrifices and grain offerings under this apostate Jewish religious system. But I'm going to have my authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days. How long is that? Notice he says it in two different ways. So you can't say, well, these numbers aren't literal. These are just spiritualized allegorical numbers. He says in two different ways. 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth. What's clothed in sackcloth mean? They have no power. They have no wealth. These witnesses have only the authority of God's word. Wealth and power is going to be in the hands of the Jewish leaders who make the covenant. They're the ones who make the pact with hell. Israel makes a pact with hell. And God sends two witnesses to proclaim his word. You know what their message is? Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who said that the first time? John the Baptist. Who these two guys are, I've studied it from 5 different ways, listened to 10 different guys, and I can't say. It could be Elijah come back to life. Could be Moses come back to life. Could be Enoch come back to life. I don't know. I don't think it makes any difference. I think Jesus makes it clear that John the Baptist could have been Elijah. Was he Elijah? No, but he could have been the spirit of Elijah. With Jesus' exact words, he could have been the spirit of Elijah had you accepted him. But you didn't, so he's not. These men are not going to go away until they're done. And they're done after 1260 days. They get killed. That's Israel's part in this. They got their temple. They got their apostate worship system. This is an old Levitical system they're going to reinstitute. But the two guys with the truth are these guys. Now let's look at the apostate church. That's the other part of this conspiracy, if you will. Revelation 17, that's where you find this. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. The scarlet beast is the Antichrist, full of blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the beast, has 7 heads and 10 horns. 10 horns. Daniel 2, Daniel 7. 10 toes, 10 horns, here it is, same thing. He's bringing the figures forward to 95 AD. On her forehead was a name written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. This is the religious system that started in Babylon that was eventually picked up by the Roman Empire. Roman Empire religion with all its gods was basically a transplant of the Babylonian religion from Babylon into Rome. The head of the religion became the head of the state. Pretty soon you had the amalgamation of the head of state and the head of religion combined together. That happened with Charlemagne when the Pope crowned him king. The Pope stood over Charlemagne. He was the authority over Charlemagne. Charlemagne was the authority over the kingdom. United it together. So what's going to happen is the religious system of Babylon is going to return to Western Europe. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. So this apostate church is going to go after people who believe the witness of the two witnesses, repent, the kingdom of Jesus is at hand, and this church will kill them. This church will kill them. So to be a true believer in the tribulation is going to be tough. The 10-nation confederacy consolidates this power using Israel and the false church. The goal for the Antichrist, the beast, is to rule. He's not going to stay here. His goal is to rule completely. He doesn't want a religion. He doesn't want another ruler. But he's going to use religion to come to power. Historically, Adolf Hitler did exactly the same thing. Use the Christian church to come to power. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, you people, if you are silent, you are complicit. Hitler was an immoral, occultic man. He was immoral, and the church accepted him. They said, yes, we accept him because he does such great things for the country. So we don't care what his moral character is. We don't care what he's like. We accept him because he's going to help us economically. And they bought in. Guys like Bonhoeffer didn't buy in. In fact, Niemöller, Bonhoeffer's partner, said, they made the Jews illegal. They said the Jews are illegal now. Nobody stood up for him. Niemöller said, they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak. They came for the gypsies, and I didn't speak. They came for the homosexuals, and I didn't speak. But then they came for me, and there was nobody left. But Niemöller was a Christian pastor. Christian pastors found out they were no longer safe. The Antichrist will do the same thing. They're going to say, this religion's going to go away. The 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings. The book of Revelation interprets itself. The 10 horns are 10 kings, which have not yet received a kingdom. So in the first 3.5 years, they haven't consolidated to one kingdom yet. We're going to compare that next week with when they do consolidate and become one kingdom with crowns on their heads. But right now, they're 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And I think that's literally going to be 1 hour. I'll explain that next week. These kings have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast, and that becomes the new kingdom. Religion's going to be done away with. The abomination of desolation is going to occur, and that's when Jesus says, when that happens, you better run for the hills. You better run for the wilderness. It's going to be just like Adolf Hitler's. We used the religion to come to power. Now we're going to kill everybody who holds that religion. You're going to have to make a choice. Who are you going to worship? You're going to worship Jesus Christ, the one who's coming, or are you going to worship this beast and take his mark? We'll go into those details next week. Here's the whole chart. We're going to do 3 and 4 next week. So what we looked at this week was a political leader from a Western nation. We don't know which one. A ruler of the new revived Roman Empire. Next week, we're going to see the dictator of all of the nations of the earth come to power. And this dictator becomes the first resident of the Lake of Fire. That's his end. So the ruler becomes a cruel and satanically empowered dictator from the middle of the week on. He's going to destroy the temple. He's going to get rid of the city of Jerusalem. He's going to get rid of the false church. Here's another chart that looks at this in a little different way. It's got some different titles on it. This is on the website if you want to get it. It's at BibleTech.com and the Book of Revelation. There's some details in there that are the apostate church, the Jewish Levitical system. This is the apostasy. The rapture's occurred back here. As power consolidates, he's going to be able to make a treaty there. So it's a different way to look at the chart. I have the seals, the trumpets, the bowls. I didn't make this chart. This came from a man named Benoit, a book that he did. That's it. Dear Father, we thank you for the zeal that Roy has expressed.